Visit one of their 4 locations today.
Education. Entertainment. It's edutainment with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620 KTAR.
And one of the top questions we get, both on the phone and email, is how do I fight these pop-ups? What's the best thing to use for pop-ups? Should I go buy some program that somebody recommended? And you know what? One of the best pop-up utilities that we've run across in a long time is absolutely free, and it's from a very reputable company. It's your favorite your favorite search engine, Google.
The Google Toolbar. It's not just a toolbar that helps you search, but it also has built-in pop-up stopper, and it's pretty cool. You can allow pop-ups on sites that you want, but disable them, and by default, it disables pop-ups everywhere, but as soon as you go to a place that you need that, because some sites you need the ability to have pop-ups, you just click a little tiny button at the top, and it turns it on for that site and that site only.
And you can go to the toolbar directly. Just go to toolbar.google.com. toolbar.google.com without the www. Also, if you're one of those that either got the message or have had the problem of when you try to go to Google, it gives you some error message saying that you've been hijacked and you can't actually get to google.com. It takes you to google.htm. That's one of the things in this week's newspaper column that'll be in the Tribune on Monday. And will be posted to our website later on. We have very specific steps that you can take to undo that, or if you're still being hijacked by Jupiter, X-U-P-I-T-E-R.
And the steps in that document, by the way, if you follow them exactly, aren't going to do something bad to your computer. They actually are the correct steps. So that document, although it looks like it could be something fake, it actually has the right steps to get rid of the problem.
Which document? The one that's being sent around?
Okay. That I've seen that talks about how to kill that problem from happening where you can't go to Google.
The host file, yeah. That's a result of the Qhost worm that's out there. So if you're having that problem, you got infected by the Qhost worm.
But it doesn't do anything really, really bad. It's fairly simple to get rid of, and it doesn't do anything real destructive.
If you can go to google.com every time, you don't have it, so don't worry about it. But the toolbar at toolbar.google.com, best pop-up blocker on the market as far as I'm concerned, because it's free and it works.
And it's from a reputable place, so you know it's not packed with a bunch of garbage.
Right. Let's talk to Steve, shall we?
Steve is here.
Steve has a Dell and has some old hard drives and wants to do something with it, I guess. Right, Steve?
Yeah, I want to have access. It's got my old tax records and stuff like that. Plus, I do a lot of work with photographs, so I'm looking for some more storage. And so
gotcha.
I can add these. Maybe I can still use them.
How big are these three old hard drives?
Two of them are 1 gig, just over 1 gig, IDE enhanced.
My advice is get the data off of those that you care about, and then don't put them in your system, because they will slow down the rest of your system and potentially cause some problems in there.
And in today's day and age, a gig is so tiny.
Yeah.
How old are they?
Probably 3 years old.
Okay, well, I don't know if you've heard on the show.
If they're a gig, they're older than 3 years.
Yeah. There are two kinds of hard drives out there, and I'm not sure which one you have. They're the ones that have crashed, and then they're the ones that are going to crash. Those are the two types. Okay. Do you know which ones these are?
No, they've not given me any problems.
They haven't crashed yet, but that means they're going to. And if you're going to store data on them that you care about, the older the drive gets and the older the technology gets and things, the more chance you have for that drive to fail on you at some point.
And I just got a CD and a DVD burn, so I guess I should burn that stuff to...
Exactly. You can hook it up just long enough to get everything off if you want to archive it. That's one option. If you really want more storage, I mean, 40 gig and
40 gig for under $100, easy. Probably 60, 80 gig, you can probably still be around that $100 price tag.
Is there an easy way to get those a stack of drives externally? And just keep them external rather than having...
You can get external hard drives that you plug in via USB or something, but, I mean, you can get as large as about a 300-gigabyte drive these days.
Well, I think he's talking about his old drives, right?
No, to get a new drive.
Oh, okay. You're gonna pay a premium to do that.
You pay for the drive plus the special converter and stuff, and then it plugs into usually like a USB port, which means it's going to run a little bit slower and not perform as well.
And it's got its own power supply, so you're paying for all that extra stuff.
Okay.
If you really want more space, the best bet is don't try to stick those old drives in there. Besides trying to put four drives in, you'd have to buy a special controller to be able to see extra drives like that. I mean, you've got all kinds of issues there that I would avoid like the plague. I would get the data off you care about, try to consolidate to one drive, maybe two. Drives these days are very inexpensive, and it's easy to get information from one to the other.
Okay.
All right?
Appreciate it.
All right, good luck, Steve. Yeah, something we see a very common thing in our business as we service computers and do data recovery and all these things. People have this old stuff, and
they never want to let go of it.
They can't bear to think that there's got to be a way for me to use this. And in some cases, it makes sense. Older monitors, perhaps. Maybe an older zip drive or that type of thing. But be very, very careful when it comes to hard drives. We have a very thriving data recovery business because people make mistakes, simple mistakes that if they'd have just kind of thought about it before they put their critical data on these devices, they'd have been in pretty good shape.
And I always laugh when somebody's coming to us and wanting a custom system built, and they want to use their old floppy drive, and they just can't let go of it. And the amount of time it's going to take their old floppy drive out, clean it all up, get it in the new system, it's not going to match because these days everything's in black and their floppy's in white.
Hey, don't we have an email for somebody that tried to put a floppy in and the light's on and all the time?
Oh, yeah. Hey, that guy that emailed in, you got a floppy and the light's always on and it won't recognize in the system properly. That means the cable, the big, fat, wide gray cable that has a red stripe on one side, it means it's on backwards. So take it off, flip it around the other way, and your floppy problems are going to go away. That
should
light should, if the light's always on, that means the cable's on backwards.
Yeah, and his assumption.
Or you're at Motel 6, one of the two.
His assumption that he hooked everything up right is probably wrong.
Just completely 180 degrees backwards.
Right.
But other than that, it's perfect.
Yeah, other than that. Well,
we'll leave the light on for you.
All right, we've got one segment to go here. We'll try to squeeze in some more calls and some emails and try to help as many of you that are listening to this fine program known as the Computer Corner. It's Ken Colburn, Brandon Disney, Michael Valdivia with her little historical moment coming up here on the Computer Corner. Stay tuned.